The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Madrid. José Antonio Larraz is a founding partner of Equam Capital. José has 12 years of experience as a partner in Capital Alianza Private Equity, investing in Spanish private companies in the middle market. He has investment experience in chemical, food, retail, outsourcing, and telecommunication sectors, having participated in the board of directors of 6 different companies. José has 4 years of experience in financial advisory, corporate finance, and M&A at Lehman Brothers in London and New York. He has been a professor at Instituto de Empresa since 2008. We appreciate the insights and ideas José has shared with us in the past and are truly grateful to have him with us again in this live online forum. On behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, José. The floor is yours. Please go ahead.
So thank you very much, John, for the nice introduction, and also thank you very much for having the opportunity this conference once again. I'm very happy to present a new idea. And just before I present the idea today, I would like to very briefly talk about Equam Capital, who we are, for those that don't know us. So Equam Capital is a management firm which is focused in investing in European companies, mainly with a very long-term approach. So we are leveraging on our experience on that we have from the past of investing in non-quoted companies, where, as you were mentioning before, we were participating and collaborating very closely with the management teams of the firms where we invested through being members of the board of directors and helping companies executing their strategic plans. So, and in those situations, we were investing in the companies for 5 to 7 years. So we are used to be long-term investors, and we understand very well that in order to create value, time is necessary, and you just need to be patient. So all this background that we have from our private equity period, we have put it into this fund, and right now we are trying to take advantage of what we believe is, in many occasions, the short-term view of the market, and use that experience and that situation where the investors invest in the short term and take advantage of that, just being patient and finding companies that, for many different reasons, we believe that they are trading at low valuations. And the kind of companies that we like, they share four main characteristics. One of them is that we like companies companies that have good businesses, that by that we mean that in certain way there is a barrier of entry in those businesses. At the same time, we like businesses which are not growing too much, because if they are growing too much, they are attracting new competitors into the market. But also, we don't like those businesses which are not doing well or have structural problems. So mainly we like what we call boring businesses, but which have some kind of barriers of entry or competitive advantage. The second main characteristic is that we don't like to invest in companies that have too much leverage. We think that because we need to be patient and we need time, if we are in a company that has leverage, in some situations, this time can play against us. So we avoid companies with too much leverage. The third characteristic is that we like companies that are run by managers who are aligned with the rest of the shareholders. So we traditionally like family-owned businesses or companies that are run by managers who have stakes in the company. And finally, we like companies that are trading at attractive valuations. And in order to buy companies at attractive valuations, well, you need to buy when people are selling, or you need to be contrarian, or you need to buy companies that, for whatever reasons, are well known by the market, or are in a complex situation that makes people not think about that investment. And the company I'm going to present today, it's a company that we think shares pretty well these characteristics. Obviously, it's very difficult to find a company that has or matches perfectly the four characteristics, but we need to find situations where there is a good equilibrium among these four parts. So, and the company I'm going to talk today is TI Automotive, TI Fluids, which is a UK company. This company is a company which is has a market cap of around 1.1 billion, and it's based in Oxford. And the company is a leading supplier of fluid systems for the automotive manufacturers. The company has two main divisions. One is manufacturing and supplying of brake and fuel lines, where the company has a very strong market position with 35% market share, and is the market leader, clear market leader, much bigger than the others. And it has a second division, which is fuel tank and delivery systems, where it's among the top three biggest player in the world, and with a 50% market share. This is a company which has almost 100 years of history, and it was the result of the merger of two companies, Tube Group and Smith Industries, in the 2000s. In the recent years, the company has been in the hands of several private equities. One private equity acquired the company in the early 2000s. And they put too much leverage in the company, and when the crisis came, the company went into a very stressed and a difficult financial situation. But at that time, then Bain Capital bought the company in 2007, and it has been the latest owner, which decided to IPO the company at the end of December, at the end of 2017. And Bain Capital did this IPO through a capital increase, where they raised around 360 million euros, which were used basically to reduce the company's debt position, because it had quite a lot of leverage at that time. Therefore, the Bain Capital is still the major shareholder of the company. After the IPO, they had 60+% of the company. And during this summer, they sold another stake in the company, around 6%. And right now, they still are majority shareholder with a 54% of the company. The company has 118 manufacturing plants, which are in 28 countries. So it's a very global company, as we will see later, and it has presence in all the major automotive markets. This company had revenues in 2017 of 3.5 billion revenues in euros, and around 491 million EBITDA in 2017. And the company has 28,000 employees. Looking a little bit more in detail into the company, we can see that, as we mentioned before, they have two divisions, and 59% of the business corresponds to the fluid carrying systems division, which we will describe a little bit later, and 41% of the revenues are coming from fuel tank and delivery systems. In terms of the markets where they are present, they are mainly focused in the light vehicles segment or industry, with 88% of the revenues coming from there, But they are also present with a small presence in heavy trucks and aftermarket. One important characteristic of the country is it's very strong diversification in terms of geographies. So the company is equally split between Europe, North America, and Asia, with a slightly higher presence in Europe with 37%, but also very strong presence in North America with 27%, and in Asia it has also 28% of the revenues are coming from this region, with especially a very important presence in China, where they have been there for many years. Also, in terms of customers, very very strong diversification. There is no major customer. Obviously, we are talking about automotive sector where there are not so many customers. But as you can see in the bottom part graph, the diversification among the different players in the industry is quite strong. Talking about the two main businesses of the company, one of them is the first one is the fluid carrying systems division, and as we mentioned before, in this market, which has a size of around 6 billion, the company is a clear market leader. They have a market share of 35%, and there are two other big players, Cooper Standard, US company, and Sano, which is a Japanese company, which they have much smaller market shares in the company, in the market. And the rest is diversified among many smaller regional players. In this division, the company is basically making three main products. The first one is the brake and fuel line products. Basically, these are connectors and tubes related to brakes. The second one is the thermal products, which basically is these are products which are used for air conditioning and heating systems for the cabin of the cars. And also products related to thermal management products for batteries. And finally, the third product that the company produces in this segment is the powertrain products. These are gasoline and diesel lines and cooling and lubricants fluid systems. You can see the historical financial performance of this division. First one, constant organic growth in the division, well above the market. And second, quite a strong profitability and very consistent throughout the period. Regarding the division, this is the fuel and fuel tank and delivery systems. Basically, they have two main products. One is the fuel tank systems. They basically do plastic fuel tank, and then they have pump and module systems, pumps, modules, and electronic controls that are related to the fuel tanks of the cars. In this segment, also the company has a strong market position, not as strong as in the other division, because there are two other big players, which are Innergy and Kautex, which are larger than TI Fluid. This division has benefited very strongly in the recent years by a change in the automotive sector from steel fuel tanks to plastic fuel tanks. The company only produced plastic fuel tanks, and the change to these kind of products has allowed the company, as we can see in the bottom part, to significantly grow in the last years. And also, because of operational leverage, the company has been able to improve their profitability throughout the period as they were gaining more business. Despite this significant growth, we need to be aware that around 28% of the market is still using steel fuel tanks. So there is still significant room for the company to continue growing and outgrowing the market because of the change from steel tanks to fuel tanks. One of the worries about this company, and when we are talking about fuel tanks and fluid systems, obviously, is what's going to happen with this company throughout all this hybrid and electric vehicle transition period that we will for sure see in the coming years. And we, after our due diligence, we strongly believe that the company will be benefiting from this trend. In this slide, we can see a little bit what is the content of the company right now, or the company's products right now in the combustion engine car. We are talking about around 200 euros per car. I mean, this is an average because obviously for the larger vehicles, SUV vehicles, the content is higher, and for all of the small cars, the content is lower. But on average, we are talking about 200 euros per car, of which around 100 corresponds to fluid systems, and 100 corresponds to fuel tanks products. What will happen with the hybrid car? Well, in this case, it is very clear and there's no doubt that the content per vehicle for TI fluids will increase very significantly. Why? Because basically in an hybrid car, you have the same combustion system than you have for a traditional combustion vehicle. Plus, you have all the electric and battery-related products, which will bring additional products for the company. On the combustion part of the hybrid vehicle, the additional content will come because you need to have a higher value-added fuel tank, a pressurized fuel tank, which because you need to protect all the electric part of the vehicle from the combustion part of the vehicle. So the kind of fuel tank that you need has high value added and therefore brings additional content. Also, in the electrical part, you also need additional thermal products, which needs to be there to transport and have all the cooling and heating system for batteries. Then we have the question regarding the electric vehicle. And there, obviously, the company will lose the business corresponding to the fuel tank products. But at the same time, the company and we believe that there will be additional thermal products that will compensate for the loss of the fuel tank products. And therefore, the company is estimating that that they will have around two times the content that they have right now for the combustion vehicle. And so as you can see, well, for the hybrid vehicle, we are talking about up to 3.5 times more content than in the combustion engine vehicle. And in the electric vehicle, we are talking about around two times the current content of the combustion vehicles. What does that mean for the future development and the potential market of TI fluids? Well, here we have put one example of potential development of the market as it is seen by IHS, the well-known consulting firm for the automotive sector. And according, if we follow to their estimations, then the content the addressable market for TI fluids will move from around 18 billion euros that it is currently the addressable market, 10 billion corresponding to fluid systems and 8 million, sorry, the other way, 8 million corresponding to fluid systems and 10 million corresponding to fuel tanks, to around 31 billion addressable market. And why is it higher? Basically, because of what we have mentioned before, because the content on the hybrid vehicle, which is the market which is growing more, is much higher than the current content. So therefore, that increases the addressable market. If we take different scenarios with 25% less hybrid or electric vehicle penetration or other scenarios with where the development of the electric vehicle is much quicker than expected, even in those cases, the addressable market which will be much higher than the current market. So in conclusion, we can say that the electric vehicle and hybrid vehicle transition is a big opportunity for a company like TI Automotive. Well, just a few words on the global automotive market. Obviously, we are aware this is a cyclical market, and despite it has been growing, I mean, if we look up to historical trends, it has constantly been growing, and we are aware that it is cyclical. However, I mean, we believe that there are several trends in the automotive markets which have positive effects for TI. The first of one is the increasing regulatory requirements to reduce emissions and increase fuel economy. And these requirements play in favor for products like the ones that TI Automotive is selling. The second big trend is the constant increase of global platform standardization and the OEMs moving away from regional platforms. This is a trend which is in favor of companies which are global, such as TI Automotive, and we believe that because of this, companies like TI Automotive can gain market share in front of more regional suppliers. And finally, the last comment I would like to make regarding the market is that it's true the market is cyclical, but when you have a global presence and you are in different markets, you can compensate certain maturity of certain markets by the situation of growth that there can be in other parts of the world, no? And also we need to take into consideration that there's a is very huge growth potential in emerging markets where the vehicles, as we can see, vehicles per thousand habitants is much lower in those markets than in the more occidental or mature markets. So there is much higher potential growth in those markets, and as we have seen before, the company is very present in those segments and should benefit from the growth, strong growth potential of Asia more specifically. So what do we like about this company, and what is our investment thesis, and why do we believe that this is a good opportunity? First, we are talking about a company which has a market leading positions in niche markets. And these small niche markets have significantly barriers of entry because products that are critical for the good performance and the compliance with the regulatory requirements of the recent regulation. So there are not so many players as we have seen that are able to produce this kind of products. Second, this company has a very strong management team. The current management team has been in the company for 10 years. They came in when the company went into financial problems in 2007. And is the management who made initially the restructuring of the company and who has been able or has achieved this very good performance that the business has had in the recent years. So then we can mention that, as we have seen before, we see electric vehicle and hybrid vehicles as an opportunity rather than a threat, and the addressable market, as we have seen, will increase throughout the time because of this. We have a company which has a long established presence in China, and the company has a very unique characteristic, which is that it's 100% owner of the subsidiary in China, because traditionally China didn't allow that, and they always require to have a local partner. But because TI Automotive has been in China for many years, long before this requirement was in place, they now have this 100% subsidiary in China, where They have 18 manufacturing plants, and they are working not only for international manufacturers, but also for local manufacturers, which gives them also access to the local market. Global footprint and good relationship with most OEMs, we have mentioned that. And another important characteristic of the company is the high profitability of the business. They have well above they have margins well above other auto component suppliers. And also they have, a quite flexible cost structure. First, because 67% of their employees are located in low-cost countries. And second, because they have quite a lot of flexible costs in terms of labor with quite a lot of temporaries. And finally, we can say that they have quite a strong pricing power in front of their customers, precisely because of what we mentioned before, that the products that they do, they have high value added, and they are critical components for the automotive. So we believe that they have a stronger pricing power than other suppliers of the automotive manufacturers. Finally, we should talk about the strong cash flow generation capacity of the company. This is a company that needs relatively quite low capital to operate, and that means that the return on capital is quite low. The CapEx needs are relatively low. We are talking about 4% of revenues and quite consistent throughout the time. And also the net working capital needs of the business are significantly low. And this is because, as we mentioned before, they have 118 manufacturing plants, and they are very close to their customers, and they operate just in time. That means that the level of inventory is very low. So working capital is around 8% revenues versus other auto component manufacturers, which they are around 15%. So all of this makes, first, that the free cash flow generation of the company is very strong, and second, the return on capital employed is significantly high. We are talking about above 20% consistent throughout the years. Also, another important thing regarding the free cash flow generation is that the company, because of the strong deleverage that they have done in the recent years, I mean, not in the recent years, but after the IPO in December 2017, they have reduced significantly the leverage, and therefore the interest expenses of the company, and this should reflect in the coming years in improving their free cash flow generation capacity. And in addition to that, they also did a refinancing of the debt structure, reducing significantly the interest expenses of the company. Finally, we should mention the strong financial performance of the company. The company has consistently, organically growing above the automotive market. And this has been driven basically because of three things. The increase in content per vehicle, the higher use by the automotive manufacturers of global platforms using global suppliers such as TI Automotive, and the strong presence in emerging markets, which have been growing faster than the US and Europe. And at the same time that they have been growing organically in revenues, they have been improving very significantly the operating profitability, as we can see in this table. And this has been coming from basically operational leverage and a very strong production efficiency program that the current management put in place after the restructuring process that they had to do in 2008 and 2009. Let's talk a little bit about the valuation, because this is one of the reasons why we decided to invest in this company. We believe that, as we have explained, TI Automotive is a quality player and is much better company than many of the automotive components manufacturers. But however, despite this higher quality, this company is trading at a significantly lower valuation than other players. In this table, we have put an average of where the European peers are trading, the North American peers are trading, and we put two companies that we believe are more comparable. One is Norma. Norma is also an automotive components manufacturer, which similarly to TI Fluids has returns of capital employed, which are significantly higher than the rest of the players. Because also, like TI Fluids, they manufacture components which are critical, and that gives them certain pricing power in front of the automotive manufacturers, and therefore that allows them to have higher margins. In the case of Norma, we are talking about margins of 19%, even higher than the ones that TI Fluids are generating. But despite that, we can see that even the return on capital employed for TI Fluids is even higher than Norma, and this is because of the low working capital needs that we mentioned before that TI Fluids have. And if we look in the case of Norma, well, this company is trading at almost 10 times EBITDA versus the less than 5 times EBITDA that TI Fluids is trading at currently. And then finally, we put also their Cooper Standard, that as we saw before, is one of the competitors in the fluid systems division. And this company, well, they have lower profitability and much lower return on capital employed. And the main reason for that is that apart from the fluid system division, they have other divisions with products which are not generating as high profitability as the fluid systems products. And for example, we can see the EBITDA margin is around 11% versus 14% for TI Fluids, and return on capital employed, which is half the one that TI Fluids is getting. And despite all of that, still, this company is also trading at significantly higher multiples than TI Fluids. So we believe that TI Fluids is significantly undervalued. We did a very simple evaluation exercise. We took the average free cash flow generated by the company in the last 4 years, which is around 150 million, excluding the working capital, because obviously, because the company was growing, and as they were growing, they had some additional working capital needs, so we exclude those working capital needs. And taking a 7% free cash flow yield, which we believe is reasonable for a company like this one, taking into account the cyclicality of the business, we reach a valuation which is around 4.25 euros per share, whereas the company is currently trading at 2.2 or 2.3. That means that we have an upside of around 90% versus the current prices. The implied valuation, also taking the average EBITDA of the company in the last 4 years, would be an enterprise value to EBITDA of 7.5 times. Obviously, if we take the numbers for 2018, the current year, the valuation that we get is much higher, but still, we believe it's more conservative to use the average 4 years, taking into account that this is a quite a cyclical business. Then the big question, obviously, is why is this company cheap? Because we have a company which has good quality, but is trading at a discount to their peers. And we believe there are good reasons that justify why this company is currently cheap. First, this is a company which has been recently IPO'd just at the end of 2017. So there is no so much public quoting history of the company. And the company was IPO'd by mainly US brokers, but this company is trading in the UK and is trading therefore in pounds, but is reporting in euros, and the headquarters of the company are in Oxford, but all the management and the corporate office of the company are in the US in Michigan. So it's kind of complex situation because we have US management, US corporate office, company trading in the UK, but is reporting in euros. And at the same time, very recent IPO. So we think these kind of complex situations may or could justify why is the company currently trading at low multiples. Second reason why we believe this is cheap is that there is certain concern in the investor community regarding the EV and hybrid transition. But as we explained throughout the presentation, we believe this is not justified, and this is more an opportunity for the company than a threat. And I mean, obviously, if you don't do a due diligence, you don't look in profound into the company, you hear about fuel tanks and you say, well, this company is going to be dying in the coming years because of the EV. But we believe that this is not true. And finally, there is another situation, which is, as we explained, this is a company where Bain Capital still has 55% stake. And obviously, they will be selling this stake throughout the period. We mentioned before that they already sold a 6% stake this summer, and we won't probably they will continue selling in the future. So there are investors who are worried about an overhang in the stock. Well, we are never worried about overhangs. I mean, what we worry about is what is the value of the company. If somebody sells and the stock goes down, what we will do is we will buy more. So no problem for us on that side. As always, talking about investment risks, well, we have mentioned those throughout the presentation. Obviously, this is a cyclical business, but still, we think that despite this is a cyclical business, there are certain trends in the industry that plays in favor of TI Fluids, global platforms, presence in emerging markets, and critical products that they are producing, and which are very important in the context of the higher regulation regarding emissions. Then the risk of the lower content than expected in electric vehicle. Obviously, we insist that we see this as an opportunity, but that needs to be proved in the future. We can say that the company has started gaining certain programs and contracts in hybrid and electric vehicles. And as they continue gaining more and more, we believe that the investor community will gain more comfort and this risk will disappear. Regulatory risk, well, this is the automotive sector. There's a strong regulation, and obviously there is always risk on that front. Raw material prices, the company is using basically steel, aluminium, and some resins, and they have been able consistently to pass through that to their customers. But obviously, there is always some time delay and certain delay, and temporarily on the short term, they could suffer if there is a very huge and rapid increases in raw materials. And finally, foreign exchange, as we mentioned, this company is trading in the UK and is reporting in euros, and a good part of their business is done in dollars. But we need to take into account that there is a good match between revenues and costs because they have 118 manufacturing plants. So basically, they have a match between revenues and costs because of that. But there is a translation effect risk when they translate those businesses there that are done in dollars to the reporting currency, which is the euro. Finally, as a summary, we can say that we believe this company or this investment fits into our investment criteria because of the following reasons. First, we think this company is under the radar. It has a low coverage and a complex situation, as we have explained. We believe this is a sound business which is operating in a niche market where the company has high market shares and is producing products which are critical for the automotive manufacturers. Regarding the leverage, I mean, the company is at 1x net debt to EBITDA. It's not very high, although it's true that for a company in the automotive sector is higher than other peers. But there are two important things that we need to comment. First, The company has no financial covenants on the existing debt facilities, so that helps. And second, the company, as we have mentioned before, has a very strong free cash flow generation capacity. And this is a company which traditionally has not done any M&A, so they don't do inorganic development. They have done only in the last 10 years one acquisition of a company in the US for 125 million euros, which is not significant. And M&A is not in the agenda of the management, and they are dedicating the whole free cash flow, which is quite high, to reduce the leverage of the company. So they are at 1.8 times right now, but this should be coming down and closer to one in the coming very few years, between this year and next year. Regarding owner-occupied business, well, it's true that the largest shareholder in the company is currently selling, the private equity, Bain, is selling. But it's also true that management has been in the company for 10 years and they have a 2.5 stake in the company, which for a company of 1 billion, well, is not insignificant. And we believe this gives us certain comfort regarding the alignment of the management team with the rest of the shareholders. And finally, regarding the valuation, as we have mentioned, this company is trading at about 10% free cash flow yield and is trading very significantly lower than the rest of the peers, despite the company has a stronger quality than other players in the industry. And basically, this is the idea I wanted to present today. Thank you very much.
Well, Jose, thank you so much for presenting the idea and articulating your thesis in such detail. Just a reminder to everyone on the line, if you have a question, feel free to type it into the online interface at this time. Jose, perhaps we could start with capital allocation. It's always a topic of importance to value investors. You commented on the level of leverage. Would you like to see the company bring down leverage, or would you like to see them prioritize other things that they can do with the cash flow?
I think, and I as my management has also the same opinion, that the current priority should be to reduce leverage. I mean, it's not that we are very worried with 1.8 times, as we mentioned. But given the cyclicality of the business, we believe right now that the company should be utilizing most of the free cash flow that they are generating in reducing leverage. As we mentioned, they don't do M&A, and that's not part of the strategy. They can continue growing organically above the market without M&A. And in terms of CapEx, they have much additional capacity, so they don't need to increase capacity or do a very extraordinary capital investments in order to cope with the growth that will come in the coming years. So basically, we believe that the company will and should be using the cash flow generated to reduce the debt.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the competitive landscape for automotive fluid systems and the specific competitive advantages of TI Automotive?
Yes, so as we mentioned before, I mean, basically, there are three top players in each of the divisions where the company operates. In the case of TI or the fluid carrying systems, they are the clear market leaders with 35% of the market, and there are two other players. And the rest are regional players which have and will consistently lose market share because the main players, I mean, the automotive manufacturers, are looking for companies which can provide them on their global platforms, and for that you need to be in all the continents, and it's not so easy for a regional player to move to other continents. In the case of the fuel tank and delivery systems, the situation is similar, although it's true that there are a little bit more competition, and there are some other players apart from the top three which have capabilities there. Obviously, that reflects also on the margins. If you can see the profitability in the fluid carrying systems division, we are talking about EBITDA margin about 15.5%, and in the case of the fuel tank and delivery system, the profitability is lower, coming precisely from this higher competition or competitive scenario that there is in the market.
Jose, for someone who would like to track this idea over time, what would you say would be the key data points to keep an eye on?
Well, very clear. I mean, the big question and what we need to follow is how is the company developing and which contracts they are achieving for the hybrid and electric vehicle products. And I mean, as I mentioned before, they this year have announced their participation in two important programs for hybrid and electric vehicles, but we need to see more of that. And the more we see about that, the more comfort we get that it's really true that the EV and hybrid transition is an opportunity for the company. We strongly believe this is the case, but obviously that needs to be proved, and the more contrast they gain, the better the visibility will be.
You talked about the history and Bain's involvement as a shareholder. In terms of the management team itself, could you shed a little bit more light on their incentives and how comfortable you are with that?
Yes, well, first of all, as I mentioned before, they have a 2.5% stake in the company, so that gives us certain comfort, because I mean, it's not small money that we are talking about. And second, the company has a long-term incentive plan. Well, it's nothing extraordinary, typical incentive plan which is aligned to the performance of the stock and certain key performance indicators such as free cash flow and EBITDA development. I mean, we feel comfortable with that. We are in other companies which have a stronger alignment, but I think in this case this is sufficient for us.
Perhaps lastly, if we could do a little bit of a post-mortem. In other words, let's say we meet again in 2 to 3 years and the idea has not worked as expected. What would you think might be the culprit?
What might be the
what might be the reason why?
Well, I mean, the big risk for the next 2-3 years, obviously, is that there is a big downturn in the automotive sector dynamics. If there is a big drop in the production of automotives in the coming years, this company is going to suffer. But we believe even in those cases that first the company in any case will continue generating cash flow lower than they are generating now, but still generating good cash flow, and that the very low valuation that we are currently at give us certain margin of safety that will allow us to go throughout that period. And also in this, our experience also in these situations is that when this happens, if we come to a downturn cycle, automotive cycle, then these kind of companies with clear market position, they can reinforce from these situations, and the ones who suffer are those which are smaller or have a lower quality product. So in that case, we'll need to be more patient, and instead of being 3 or 4 years in the company, we might need to be 5 or 6. So, but obviously, this is the major risk that we see in this company.
Understood. Well, Jose, thank you again very much for taking the time to be here and share this interesting idea with our members. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very happy to be here.
And to all of you listening, thanks for being with us for this live session. We look forward to having you with us for our next live session in just about 40 minutes. Until then, goodbye.